Welcome to Expedition Self on OM Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Parado. Sam shares 4 decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Parado.
Well, hello. Welcome to Expedition Self. I am Sam Parado in the flesh, and I'm live this evening. Oh, gosh. Well, tonight I'm going to be talking about what you believe you'll be pondering if given 3 days to review your life in your final moments. And I just want to say that as I hunted around for information about this, I didn't actually find it anywhere. So even though I believe I got it along the way, I want you to know before we even get started that I think this idea of 3 days for your life and review somewhere along the way, it just piqued my interest and became something that I made real. But also, for those of you who are listening to me at a time other than 5 p.m. on Tuesdays, Eastern Standard Time, I would like to encourage you to listen to me live when you can, Tuesdays at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, so you can actually participate in these conversations with me. And I realize we're in the generation or the time of podcasts. So many of you listen at alternative times. You could turn it off and on, like while you're hiking or while you're cleaning your floor. But if you've been listening, you know I've been trying to get the whole live aspects of this show going since I started. And this is the first quarter of my 3rd year on air. And so I would love to see that happen. This is counting as my formal invite for Tuesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, so I started to say that as I looked this up, I couldn't find it anywhere. I did find kind of a version of it in Buddhist philosophy around reincarnation. And I know that the topic, it could be perceived as a bit of a morbid one. But to me, it's much more about how we live and how we think about life when we're in it. So I heard about this idea of having 3 days to review life before going into the next one a long time ago, and it was intriguing to me, and I don't know who said it or where I got it. But the idea was I'd have a chance at the end of my lifetime to really reflect upon the entire journey. And I had this visual for it. I'm in a room. It's kind of a black and white room, but there's a big mirror in it. And I'm sitting there really in a very peaceful way, reflecting. It's kind of like if you ever saw that Al Brooks movie with Meryl Streep called Defending Your Life. Mine isn't quite like a boardroom when I think about it. But as I would have this opportunity to think about where I'd been, what I felt, what happened, what I did with it. And so for those of you who don't believe in reincarnation, I still think there's value in exploring how an idea like this can be helpful to how we live. You know, there's so much talk about the hero or the heroine's journey and looking at the entire lifetime as a whole. And I guess for me in the last year or so, something has definitely shifted in my way of relating to the many events, the twists and the turns, you know, such that I now really feel like I'm looking at my life more as a movie, right? As me as the main character of that movie, and the idea that each and every moment matters right up until the curtain comes down. Like one thing doesn't outweigh another, that it's this compiled, amalgamated, conglomerated experience where every single moment has something to do with the very next one or 10 down the road, right? And that anything is possible in that whole entire epic view of my life. So now when I think about it, it feels less segmented, less partitioned. You know, one supposed wrong move now to me doesn't seem to isolate itself from the next three occurrences. It's not so much like a balance sheet, like, you know, these are all the pluses and these are all the minuses. Now it has more of a integrated flow, flowing one thing, flowing into the next. And then they all start to look as if they belong, that without one, something else wouldn't have happened. And I know people say this all the time. Oh, well, you know, if you didn't have this, you wouldn't have that. But for some reason, even the way my mind used to think about that, it was still very separate. The other thing that I've noticed is that the repeating of the same lesson seems more necessary now. when before it was like the repeating of the same lesson instead looked like a bad thing or a stuck place on my part, and that I shouldn't really be doing that or be allowed. And now I kind of understand that the repeating of these lessons, it's not even repeating of the lesson, it's repeating of the elements or the aspects of the lesson so that I can actually get it in a deeper and deeper way. It just seems so important. And so when I think about these 3 days of my life in review, I can say that my own shift has occurred when I look back on my life already. I have no idea what will change between now and when I'm done. So these are the kinds of things I'd like to talk about with you tonight. How the holding of this idea, 3 days to review your life, it gives you a way to reframe your experience of living it. And before we're done, I want to talk about how you can utilize the 3 days visual to help you make decisions and choices in the now. Okay. Well, so let's dive in. The number to call tonight, if you'd like to participate in the conversation and share a little bit about responses to the questions I'm going to prompt, it's 202-570-7057. And also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, you know, I started this new thing where people right now, they're people that I know personally come and talk about their growth work on the show, like how their process has gone. So if you'd like to do that, and then please write me at hello@expeditionself.com. Hello. That's that Adele song. Okay. So is anybody wondering how we ended up with this idea of 3 days for a life in review? Okay. I have no idea. Remember, I don't even really know where I got this. And so it's stuck, but I have no background information. If anybody does, that would be a really interesting thing to call in about. But I've thought a lot about this anyway. And I think in the in-between world, 3 days, you know, probably doesn't feel like 3 days, right? Time is different. I always hear about that thought process that time's different in different dimensions. But I rationalized it like this, that the first day would be a review of it all, like an inventory, right? That everything that happened would show up on the screen. Then the second day, I would be kind of settling into what it all means, which would probably mean I would have some resistance to it, or I might have a little bit of a challenge going on inside of myself to really be with everything that I see, and that's a necessary part of the process. And then the third day would have me center myself in neutrality, finding some peace, surrendering, you know, to what I'm looking at and accepting, right, that my life for exactly what it is and what it isn't, and that is what there is to be with. But the 3 days in general is a time for me to sit down with myself retrospectively, to grab a wonderful cup of Earl Grey tea with a little bit of cream and a couple of Splendas, and really settle into witnessing my journey. So when I picture it, it's also, I bring with me in those 3 days a whole lot of gentle warmth and affection and empathy for myself, as well as some excitement that comes from a kind of, well, how did it all go, right? Like a parent might ask their child after returning from this great adventure backpacking across Europe for a summer. I have a hunch that my appreciation for myself, if I had done my life in review when I was 25, would look very different than my life in review now, because I think the experience of loving myself, which I just always think sounds so cliche, but really appreciating like who I am, what I struggle with, what I've learned, what I try to learn, my where I stumble, what I need, all that, right? I just have come to accept more and more about myself. I probably think that's part of what happens a lot of times for someone's lifetime. Okay. So this 3 days, I think it begins with a highlight reel of the high and low moments. I think it includes things we don't consciously remember, like being born with the umbilical cord wrapped around our throat, or something I would only remember, right? That's something I would only remember through rebirthing or breathing exercises. But these highlights and lowlights, which is what I'm going to call them, they're the moments that register for us emotionally, or that they stick in our mind's eye when we think about our life. Maybe it's, you know, when your parents split up, or on your first day of high school, or a moment in your job when you got embarrassed or something, right? Or the birth of your first child. They're the moments when something went really well, and they're the times when things seem to not go so well, right? So it's really this kind of wash or inventory. So right now, you know, I hope you have a pencil. Just jot down some of those highlights and lowlights. Now, don't censor, right? Just whatever comes to mind, whatever seems to show itself right out in front of our right there, right? It just popped into your mind, or it's just a visual that you saw, or it's just a moment that you found yourself going back in your life. And it could be as recent as a month, right? And it could also be as long ago as when you were a little wee one wandering around in diapers. So just write a few of them down. And I, you know, as I say that, I guess that's one of the best things about our live show being recorded, is because if you're listening afterwards, you can actually pause it and make the list and then, you know, go back and pick it up. So if you're doing that when you listen to this, then really give it over and make a full list. You know, spend the 20 to 30 minutes to keep writing until it's all done. Like, do that inventory. And, you know, you can also go back to it from here. So here's the thing. Each one of those highlights and lowlights was experienced by you on more than one level. You would have had this intellectual interpretation, the emotional sensory experience, the physical response to all of that, and then what it meant for you as a human being, and ultimately how it fit into your spiritual mission in your lifetime. Okay, spiritual mission of a lifetime is a really big idea. And I think we spend much of our lives trying to gain clues about that spiritual mission. And I think we all have different ways that we do it. Some of it, us do it through our art or our creative process. Some of us do it through the idea of astrology or mediumship or tarot reading or connecting through the body in terms of our spirituality, like Reiki, right? And then some of us do it by just literally looking at the tangible elements of our lifetime and saying, what is it? right? But there is a spiritual, I want to hold up the idea that there is a spiritual mission in your lifetime. Okay, so I'm going to choose one of those examples and walk through it. Now, I have shared a lot on these shows, so you've probably heard this particular story, but I'm going to try to do it from the vantage point of what I'm really looking for, which is these multiple levels that we're experiencing life through. So this moment is when I started my very first business, when I was 22 years old, and my grandmother had just died in October, and it was January, and she had left me this $1,000 life insurance policy, which was just, I can't even tell you, it just blew my mind. I didn't know that it existed, and to me, that $1,000 just seemed like somebody had given me $100,000. Like, it was money I didn't have to earn. I didn't have to, you know, figure out how to get it into my bank account. And so it was a true windfall, and it was a windfall given with great heart because of my relationship with my grandmother. So I'm going to actually stop here at the beginning of this story. And when we come back from break, I will pick it up and talk a little bit about what I would see as a highlight of my life and what I would like you all to be thinking about.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
All right, well, we are back. I'm Sam Perotto, and you are listening to Expedition Self. Tonight, we are talking about how you might think about and what you might find if you did 3 days of your life in review. And so before I went on break, I was about to talk about one of the moments of my life in the context of how we might think about these 3 days. So here I was, 22. I'd had this $1,000 windfall. I was living in Tucson. I did not have a job I liked. And I have no idea. I want you to know this. No idea. I never in my life imagined owning my own business. I didn't want to work that way independently. I kept thinking it was all about a job. I'd had jobs my whole life. But I literally woke up one morning. I want to say it was on a Sunday. And I decided in that moment that I could work with small businesses to market themselves. It wasn't that I had a marketing degree. I didn't have any background in anything other than it just seemed like a good idea. I mean, literally, I woke up and I was off and running. So I went and got business cards made up that day. And back then, you know, you went to a print shop, right? And then the next day, there were no computers when I did this. Not computers that did, ink type stuff. Anyway, so the next day I got the yellow pages out. I remember sitting on the floor of my apartment, and I basically started flipping through, and I found, 10 places to call. And I started making phone calls. And the next thing you know, I will tell you, by Friday, I had 3 clients. And I had enough to live on cash-wise. Like, those 3 clients would generate enough for me to exist in my life. And so when I think about that time, I was so utterly clueless, right? The inspiration and an understanding about how to do this was absolutely, unequivocally not logical, right? There was nothing in my life, mostly, other than I kind of had an extroverted personality that warranted my actions. I have no idea where they came from. And emotionally, I hadn't really begun to do any growth work, really, at all. I mean, I'd done, I guess what I want to say, like, I had done some therapy and I had done some kind of spiritual exploration stuff, but it was really, really a small amount. And so from an emotional standpoint, I would say I was largely offline, right? I had left a job in the retirement community I was running the year before, and I had absolutely no idea what I was going to do, what was going to happen to me, or where I was going. So these layers that I'm talking about, as I might reflect on my life, right? I'm in day one, I would see that some aspect of who I was, and I didn't know it was very much at play in all of this, right? Is that I made a dramatic left turn that seemed to have no preordained setup. And I was compelled to do it. And I didn't know what I was doing. And yet, it was pivotal to everything else that would follow it. And so I was clueless. Really, I had no awareness. I had nothing, right, to work with. Right? And I had no idea what was at play. And so even with the starting, I did a so-so job at it. I mean, I really didn't know what I was doing. And in the realm of the rest of my life, of all of my relationships, right? It wasn't like I was feeling so successful or anything. It just happened and I was there. So why do I walk you through this? Because when you start to put these events together, and there were other times in my life when I had no idea why I did something or why I was drawn to it, what I see is that this is a theme for me. This theme of not recognizing or knowing why I found myself someplace and really being like completely in the dark about why that happened. So I want to talk about these waves or themes that run through our lives. So in what I'm trying to describe here is I have a theme and lots of highlights and lowlights that have something to do with being conscious or clueless, being in control and actually imagining that I am, thinking I know what I'm doing and where I'm going, only to find out that it wasn't true at all. I have at least 50 highlights and lowlights that stand out in my life that fit that description about being conscious or clueless, being in control, imagining that I am, thinking I know what I'm doing and where I'm going, only to find out that it's not true at all. And there are these, it just happens. It just pops in. There's no plan about it. There's nothing to lay the groundwork for me to even expect it. You know, I have this memory of running down a hill and my legs pump, pump, pump. They're moving so fast, right? To try to keep up with the gravity that's pulling and tugging on me. It's an example physically where I had no idea why I was doing it, like what it was about it, but I was being pulled towards something. And that's the sense that I feel like happens on a spiritual level. So at an intellectual level, on that morning when I woke up and said, I'm going to start my business or I'm going to go find people that want to hire me, right? Intellectually, I didn't know why I was doing it or what I was doing. Emotionally, I think I was kind of, I was looking for something, right, that was more satisfying for me. I was looking for something. I was sick of having bosses. I think that was part of what was happening, right? And physically, I was comfortable because I had gotten this money from my grandmother that really came out of the blue. Right. But spiritually, there was a lot going on at play there because I didn't pre-plan it. I didn't be orderly in it. I didn't think like in a linear way about it. And now that a number of decades have passed, I can see these clear actions that seem to come out of the blue in shocking ways. You know, one day I woke up and realized, I literally woke up and realized I didn't want to be married anymore. I didn't see it coming. I didn't know it was happening inside of my emotional experience, right? It was jarring in its unplanned nature. One day I realized I didn't like my business, and so I just pivoted. And of course, it showed up in relationship too. I'd find myself in some unplanned social situation. This one was on Twitter. I ended up in this tribe or this group. And a decade later, really, they were the launch pad for Expedition Self. So I'm doing a lot of talking about me and trying to help you think about this. But what I'm asking you to do is to think about those experiences, those occurrences, those events, those situations that have happened in your life, and look for what those themes are, right? And in terms of my own life, what's important about this is that we've got those unexpected things, but on the other side of who I am, I get very determined. I don't give up for a long time with things that don't pan out or get results. And while that's all true, I also have an entire pattern that I've actually seen where I do, in fact, walk away from things because I don't stay with them long enough. So you can see, if I'm looking at my life in review, I'm looking at cluelessness, I'm looking at intentionality and being in control, and I'm looking in like the hidden spots or the shadow or the unconscious places where actually I leave things rather than playing them fully out. So when I review my life, what I see is a lack of trust or faith that things will come to me. I have a belief, right, that I will have to work really hard with my intention and be very proactive to make things happen. And then I have this sense that I'm in control of generating these so-called results I want. And of course, that series of lessons is nowhere close to over for me, right? I'm still on this continuum of allowing, receiving, accepting that which I don't plan for, you know, welcoming divine inspiration and working proactively pursuing these things that I want to create. It's so not over, but the question is, why is this theme important? And that's what's cool about your life in review. Is you get to ask questions like this. Remember that everything that I'm about is trying to help you go inside. And there's something about projecting your imagination into the future where it's all done, right? You've played it out, right? The curtain is coming down for your last bow. And when you do that and you ask yourself, what are the themes of my life? What are the places that I would review? It gives you a way to go inside from a different angle. Right? So how is my need to be conscious while still remaining clueless? How does it have to do with power and powerlessness? Because if you look at the highs and lowlights of my life, many, many of them have to do with power and powerlessness. Even that moment where I started my business when I didn't want to have to go find another boss. I didn't want to go work for somebody else. And so these things, they excite my mind to ponder what there is to learn. And I'd like to think that in this hour that you spend with me, you just stop long enough to think about your own life. You just stop long enough to go inside a little bit and maybe put pieces together in a way that you haven't put them together before. So, what are some typical themes? Courage and fear, strength and weakness, self-value, self-expression, intimacy, empathy and suffering, intellect and emotion, victim, martyr, victimizer, big theme for lots of people in our world right now, right? Identity, place and belonging, individuality and interdependence, community and independence, creativity and constructability, you know, inside of archetypes, right? Like the artist and the builder, violence and peace, right? So the themes, what's important about themes is that you look for what you see in it. You try to find the words that describe what you're actually working with. Self-responsibility and irresponsibility. That's a really cool one, right? Substance versus flimsiness. Really, you get to define this. Your themes, they're hidden inside of both your high and your low points of your existence. But they're also hidden with the entire in-betweens of your hours and days. And really, I often think that the in-betweens are where you see the glue or that masonry compound. Now, I don't remember what it's called, that puts the bricks together. Those in-betweens help you to tell the story just a little bit more, because they're what happens in between the highlights and the lowlights. They're where those unconscious actions and choices get seen. So thinking in terms of this 3 days to review your life, well, it gives you a chance to take it all in and ponder, what is it trying to tell me? Where is it trying to steer me? What is there to see about being human? And what are the human needs you are discovering? And how do those work together? I just want to say, I talk about this a lot. What does it mean to be human? And if you think about it, I'm really putting a stake in the ground that you chose to be human. So you're working with the characteristics and the qualities and the subtle elements that are at play in our experience of being human. Right. So many, many lessons have to do with what does it mean to be a human, right? And when you think about it, where do we all start? We start with an ideology. We start with a set of beliefs. And then the rest of our lifetime is spent at some level poking holes in those beliefs or reworking them, remolding them, and reshaping them. So we start to close the gap between the idea of being human and what it really means to embody ourselves as human beings. So as themes go, I have a whole theme around belonging and community and individuality, right? So I can share a story from the time that I was 2, when I was standing in line with some little friend and I was telling them that I owned a song. It was "Those Boots Are Made for Walking," and it couldn't be their song if it was my song, right? And I have stories all the way through until a month ago in terms of how do I fit inside community and still have my voice. Right? I still shy away from community for fear that my individuality will somehow get, you know, swallowed up. And there's a part of me that would rather be alone than have that happen. But, you know, I'm making inroads all the time without always planning for them. And so this story, this part of my story in terms of my life and review is not done. That's one of the cool things about projecting yourself into the future as a way to go inside, is it also helps you make room for the rest of what there is to learn that you have yet to see. It allows you to create this space between where you are now and what that ending looks like, so that you can allow for more experimentation and get more liberation or liberated as you go along. What are the spiritual lessons you are grappling with? I know there are so many books written about what you're supposed to be embracing to be a spiritual being. I think it's all about like helping you hack it or get closer to it. And I do think it's helpful, right? They'll talk about, one of the spiritual ideas is, you know, to be self-accepting, right? There's a number of ways that they can set that up or frame it up to give you a place to look, to go direct yourself there. But I do find it to be very, very fruitful to look at your life and see what there is to see inside of what you believe your spiritual lessons are all about. You know, I think they're about oneness and learning about oneness, where the boundaries between me and another person are not like brick walls, right? I think spiritual lessons are about the sense of you being more than your human experience, right? Opening up to psychic or the collective unconscious or the collective consciousness that we live inside of. And then also, I think spiritual lessons are the exploration of what it means to evolve and to gain wisdom. But you get to determine what that is. And it's worth your time. I think that's what I'm really trying to say. It's worth your time to think about, if I did my life in review, what would I see about my journey, my steps, my path, the bridges I go over, the highways I take that are not straight routes. All right. When we come back, we're going to just put a little bit of brackets around these days.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back. I'm Sam Perotto. You're listening to Expedition Self. And tonight we are talking about how to think about 3 days of your life in review. So before we were going to break, I was talking about how you get to define your own spiritual lessons. You get to see them for yourself as you look through your life. And you know those kaleidoscopes that you look into and you twist them around in all directions and they make these really cool changing images. Well, that's the point of reflecting on your life over these 3 days. It's because these kinds of questions and connections you make to what are you learning and how's it going, they help you ground yourself and center yourself in you. So here we are, day one of life in review, the high and the low lights and the themes, right? And how they connect with what you see and and what's going on for you in terms of where you are on that path, right? Day two is the part that's a bit harder because it's the place where I feel like some of the times in life looks like misses or failures to be or a little cowardice or fear or rinse and repeat or losses, right? It's one thing to see an event and to recognize how you suffered in it. It's quite another to see your choices in it, how you existed in it, right? And this was what the 3 days of review gives us the ability to do, is we get to just step away just for a little while from our reactions, right? From our emotional material, and actually see ourselves as the character in it. So if we look at my life, I have so many moments where I didn't say enough about what was happening for me. And as a result, it continued long past what it had to, right? We have to be careful with all that, right? Because we're actually taking life as though there's a perfection to it. I have lots of moments when I felt threatened and at risk, and it caused me to miss the opportunity that was actually there, right for the taking, ripe for the taking. When I look at my life, there is so much I missed out on because of me. Which, again, there's a perfection in that, and at the same time, I feel sad about it. I feel regretful. I have grief. So when we look at what didn't happen that could have, when we come face to face with how we chose each day without realizing what we weren't choosing because of it, and when we recognize that there were hundreds of doorways that we didn't turn the knob on, there is a sense of loss. And to me, this is day two, coming to grips with what wasn't or what didn't or what couldn't be. Because I just wasn't able to step towards it or to see it or to let it in. Now think about this. Why is this helpful to think of my life in review when I'm right in the middle of my life? Well, because it helps me embrace loss. It helps me embrace those moments and see them for what they are instead of trying to like gloss over them and not notice. Helps me to grasp the potency of who I am, even in the space of when I couldn't bring it. You know, perhaps the magnitude of day two is really realizing how much power we actually had but didn't know it. And of course, day two is about recognizing that while we had all that power, we didn't necessarily have the wherewithal to use it to our advantage, to put it to good use, to see what we were doing or not doing. I feel like I'm making this up, right? But this is kind of how I think about the 3 days in review when I put myself in here, right? To help myself ground in the moment, in the now. So day two is also about empathy. I had a shamaness once who was speaking to my inner child, and I hear her voice. Right, when I think of all that has gotten missed. And it was equal parts like empathy and feeling sorry for me and also acknowledging that I was me. And I think that's the idea of day two, is to profoundly connect with the vulnerability that is being you as a human, your humility of walking in your own shoes and the depth of suffering that comes at our own hand and the difficulty that's associated with being in our bodies and feeling the pain in our bodies and allowing life and dealing with all that life dishes out to us. See, during day two, I think we come to grips with the life lessons we were dealt. And this is part, we see how we show up in that. And there's often things that are missing. There's often something we can mourn over. There's often missed memories and moments that we can't get back. And this is happening right now, right? So although we're talking about the future, it's actually happening right now that we're missing. We're missing these doorways. And there's something to notice about what we're missing. What do you think you're missing right now? What do you think right now is inviting you to step towards it? And it's not possible for you. So it's the culmination of embracing our humanness while acknowledging that power without awareness is not always so useful. Okay, so we move to day three. And so on day three of this imagined review, life in review, I like to think that things begin to sift and shift and move around inside, right? The highlights and the lowlights, the moments missed and the opportunities, the joys and the regrets, they all begin to form a new picture for us. And this is a picture of completeness, like this sweeping gaze across the horizon of our existence and participation with the people, with the land, with our bodies, with our subconscious, I have to throw that in our hearts, with the technology, with the books, with the environment and the community and the governments, and with our work. And when we do this, something starts to click into place. We see it all as part of a big journey, like an aspect of perfection, right? Yeah, you all heard, right? Imperfectly perfect. I think it really fits here. It's not that you see the positives in day three. It's you see the cause and effect better. You see why you were stubborn or withheld and what you were afraid of and driving towards. But bigger than that, you see how it fits together and why it makes sense that you are who you are, why it makes sense that this happened or that happened, why you find yourself in this moment. And you can do it without the judgment. Because in the 3 days in life in review, we're more than our intellect and we're more than our emotions. I was reading a comment on Instagram recently, and it was, I don't remember who said it, but it was something like there's a heart behind everyone's lifetime, right? And they were saying it in the context of someone they didn't like, but they always try to remember that. And I think day three is the time when we see the heart behind everything that's ever happened to us, right? Gratitude for all the lessons, for the people we didn't like, for the hurts we felt. We get to see how we are in the center of it, at the middle of it. And of course, to see this in the everyday is hard. But I do fantasize that by the time I get to day three of my life in review, the fight has gone out of it. And I'm more willing to accept myself for who I am and who I'm not, or who I was or who I wasn't. Who I would have liked to be, but couldn't find the way. And so can you see where I'm toggling between the end and now, and the end and now, because when we take that mindset that I'm applying to those 3 days in review at the end, it can really help us drop in and look seriously about where we are. But I do think that by day three, and that in my vision, I'll want to wrap the sad and the lost parts of my journey up in a warm and cuddly blanket, and cheer for the parts of it when I finally saw what I needed to, when things came together on me, my behalf, and I got it. I climbed over the fence and I discovered that glowing treasure, because in day three, this is when I get to see something. And we're not limited by this judgmental intellect. Its limiting way of thinking isn't in the lead. And so we get free for just a moment. That's that moment when we don't have to hold on to the constraints, because we're nearing the end of the supernatural dream and we're free to call it for what it is, to acknowledge ourselves for what it took to get here, no matter how much it felt like a win or didn't. And we can give ourselves the moment to take it in and then let out a great big sigh of having completed it. What do you think you'll see on day three? When you look at your life right now, what is the freedom that comes with day three? So I want to talk a bit about completion. It's not an area in life where I've had an easy time, but I do feel like for many of us, completing things is kind of a subconscious trigger for feeling empty or not needed or not existing or non-essential. Right? I hear people a lot of times talk about, I just want to make a contribution. And I always feel like completion has some relationship to that. Right? So we don't complete important conversations. We let them dangle. We don't complete projects. We just keep adding them to the to-do list. We don't complete the emotional work around trauma. We try to will it into a jar in the cupboard and call it done. And I know this isn't everyone, but I encourage you to look at how you relate to being complete, because I think that's one of the other things that comes with playing with the idea of 3 days for my life in review. So do you have a reluctance to finish what's happening or what needs to be spoken or needs to be cleared up or needs to be talked through so there's no question that we're all on the same page? Do you know how often I hear people say, I don't know why I'd go back and mention that because it's just been too long. They're not even going to know what I'm talking about. Dozens of times a month. But the key to getting complete is that it's being done for you, not for them. And sometimes it takes a decade. Sometimes it takes 100 hours of writing. Sometimes it takes all night to wrap up that project that's been hanging around for years. So I'd like to invite you to use this idea of 3 days of your life in review, right? Because it helps you emphasize the valuing of both the high and low lights as essential parts of the whole of your journey. You know, the appreciating of the fails, the misses, the repeats, the blocks, and the ignorance for what it is, the sad and hard and difficult and disappointing. And mostly, it's a necessary part of your life learning. We never go on a straight line up the hill. We always have to pause and revisit and stop and lose our way. And lastly, this idea of truly embracing the themes of your life and all the hidden ways you're learning about them, but don't actually recognize it. You might not recognize all these themes that are at play. And when you give yourself room to say, why don't I understand that? Why is that confusing? It's likely there's a theme hidden behind there, right? There's a need to get some level of completion with each footprint left on the stepping stones. And the cool part about thinking about 3 days of life in review is that you can ask yourself when you're involved in anything. I mean, anything. When I look in that mirror, how will this play for me? How will I feel about it? Will I have regrets? And this is that life-altering opportunity in tonight's conversation. The ability to think about day one, how will I think about this event or time in my life as a highlight or a low light or an in-between? Will I feel satisfied and fulfilled about it? And what themes am I working with and how can I embrace them more fully? Or day two, how am I stepping towards my life? How am I relating and caring for myself when I don't get or accomplish what I set out to? And what kinds of feelings will I have when this is played out? How can I create a fuller experience for myself that embraces the sadnesses, the losses, the disappointments? And from day three, what would have me feel complete about my week or my year or my relationships or these experiences in my life? How can I come to some middle ground or neutral space where I get bigger than any of the parts of myself and see the whole of every day rather than compartmentalizing it into a good thing or a bad thing, right? And will I regret where I am right now? Am I being as conscious and open and undefended as I can possibly be so that I can take in more and more of what's offered? Well, I've reached the end of my conversation about 3 days of life in review. I hope that you have found a tidbit of going inside for yourself, either by thinking about day one, day two, or day three. And I would love to hear from you if you would like to write me. So have a great week. Thank you so much.